Wednesday, October 19th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to combine about four or five different stories into one. They all have the same theme. Harry, first off, out of the Christian Post, Christian Dr. Richard Scott, 62 years old, is a general practitioner at Bethesda Medical Center in Margate, Kent, England. He has finally been vindicated following a four-year campaign threatening his livelihood because he prays with some of his patients. Melissa Klein and her husband Aaron own Sweet Cakes by Melissa. They are back at the Supreme Court asking justices once again to take up a challenge to Oregon's public accommodation law after the state put her out of business for refusing to create a custom wedding cake for a same-sex couple. Denver area web designer Lori Smith, who refuses to create websites for same-sex couples' marriages, her case has been taken up this term by the United States Supreme Court. And Masterpiece Cake Shop owner Jack Phillips is back in the news. You might remember in 2016, he refused to bake a specialty cake celebrating the wedding of a gay couple. Now he has refused to bake a cake for a transgender individual as he announces his transition from male to female. Harry, there is a certain theme going on here, and it is a harassment by government and government agencies against Christians who stand up for their beliefs.
These stories affirm the reality that we're in a culture of insanity, absurdity, immorality, lethality, all rooted in financial profitability. So anyone that doesn't get in on the cultural revolution is going to be assaulted. So here we put five cases together. Now, why have we done this? There's a bigger issue, as you said at the outset, Tom. Folks, there were others we could have added, but here are these five particular cases. Now, what do you have in common? Number one, culture shapers, the elite culture shapers, that is big business, big government, big education, journalism, and the entertainment world have all targeted these people. Now, they haven't targeted their lives yet, but they have targeted their livelihood. Why? Because we're in a cultural revolution. A revolution has an objective, and the cultural revolution, its objective is not toleration. The LGBTQAI plus agenda in this cultural revolution of sexual anarchy is not asking for ideological toleration. It is demanding capitulation, that the culture capitulates to identify what once was condemned, that it now is to be celebrated. And that's what a cultural revolution does. It doesn't look for toleration, it looks for capitulation. And more than that, it specifically is calling upon the culture to celebrate what it once condemned and condemn what it once celebrated. So sexual anarchy, once condemned, now must be affirmed. Sexual chastity, sexual ethics must now be condemned in the name of sexual anarchy. And that's why anyone that doesn't get on board with the revolution becomes targeted. Tom, I hope our listeners understood as you went through this. This is coming to you. Corporate America is going to tell you, if you don't affirm this agenda, you can't work with us. Big business, corporate America is coming to you and saying to you, if you don't get with this, then your business is not welcome and your employment is not possible. That's what's coming. It's going to be supported by a governmental manipulation of discrimination laws so that you now have to embrace what is evil and call it what is good. And if you don't, now there's governmental penalties that will be imposed, not just financial, but possibly incarceration as well. And then you've got the movement of the entertainment industry that will marginalize you by portrayals designed to shame those who embrace the historic values of Western civilization. And then you've got journalism that refuses to do its investigative work of objective reporting on these issues. So the cultural elitist, it's coming to you. And so how is it, and what do you need to be ready to do? Because the revolution is going to demand that you celebrate what you once condemned, not tolerate. You got to celebrate it. And is going to tell you, we're not asking for toleration. You must participate. You must propagate. You must perpetuate what you once said was unacceptable. You must now celebrate it and promote it. And that's what's coming to you. Now, what will you do? Well, hopefully you will continue to be in a faithful church who will disciple you and teach you to be faithful to Christ. You have to stand firm. Now, let me give you the good news that's really bad news. What is being done to our culture with this tsunami wave that with an unbelievable rapidity is deconstructing our culture? What you are looking at is the deconstruction of Western civilization. You're looking at the triumph of the philosopher Hegel. You're looking at the triumph of Marxism. You're looking at the triumph of the quote-unquote, I mean, what is the family? It's an instrument of oppression. What is the church? It's an instrument of oppression. So victimization, here are the oppressors, and anyone who has participated in the tenets of Western civilization in terms of God-given rights that are to be protected by law in that civilization, then you are now the target by the cultural elitist. And they will find the penalties and they will find the soft spots in order to demand your capitulation. So you need to be in a church and a covenant community of believers that doesn't retreat from the world but is in the world. But in being in the world, it's not of the world. And wherever you have leadership attempting to be faithful, then you need to pray for them, support them, because they're there to encourage you. And then all the leadership and the fellowship, we need to be salt of the earth and light to the world. That's what we need to be. To stand firm in days like this, where evil is being called good and good is being called evil, and those who want what is good are targeted in their livelihood now and even in their lives, as you see this secular progressivism aided by religious progressivism, as you see this movement with its increasing domination, seemingly unstoppable, you have to be number one, tethered to historic biblical Christianity out of love and devotion to Christ. You have to be tethered to the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. The reason we have had Western civilization was because when believers were in the minority, as they are now, they were faithful to Christ because they loved him and they wanted to be faithful to his word, the faith once and for all delivered to us as God's people. Secondly, you must live for the approval of God, not the approval of the culture. If you live for the approval of the majoritarian movement of the culture, then soon you will succumb to the revolution with all kinds of invented rationale. So if I may quote one of my mentors, R.C. Sproul, we live coram Deo. We live under the eye of God, the face of God, to please God by being faithful to him. We do not live for the applause of the world, therefore we are not defeated by the frowns of the world. Thirdly, you have to have a motivation that governs all other motivations, and that for us is the glory of God. Why did God make us? To glorify and enjoy him forever. Why did God save us? To the praise of his glorious grace. Why does God sustain us? That he might be exalted.
The Apostle Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It is essential that we have a proper understanding of spiritual warfare. If the believer embraces the Bible as the Word of God, then we must recognize the reality of spiritual warfare, and we must get prepared for battle. Harry Reader delivers 15 sermons in his Spiritual Warfare series, That We Might Stand. To order this series, go to briarwood.org/spiritual warfare. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Thursday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.